Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on October 9th, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a quick audio clip of former Governor David Beasley being told that the World Food Program, which he runs, received the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize. Get your gloves! We're going into the garden with lead horticulturist Brenton Fox. Also, do you know what's going on with the COVID-19 relief bill? Good question. I don't think many people do, but Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell tells us why another bill is important. And check out our wind down section where we talk about juicing. Smoothies, I should say, I suppose. And we also learn about brand intimacy. The lead loves you. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's happening in your world. If you're experiencing difficulties while being unemployed, if you're trying to get unemployment assistance, if you're out delivering all these packages that we keep hearing people about ordering online, what your favorite brand is, what you're doing during these times. Are you reading? Are you going out and about? Are you picking pumpkins in a patch somewhere? We want to know. 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. The spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,325 deaths, and currently there are 150,033 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of October 9th at 4 p.m. That's right, we are past the 150,000 mark for cases. Our current percent positive rate is 11.4%, and our 7-day average is 15.5%, which is 3 times higher than it needs to be. Currently, 748 people are hospitalized with COVID-19, 193 patients are in intensive care units, and 99 patients are ventilated. Our 7-day average for deaths is 16, and our 2-week average is down 6%. However, our week average for cases is 919, which is an increase of 20% from 2 weeks prior. There have been 3,770 cases reported at Clemson University and 2,494 cases at USC. These two schools make up the bulk of the 8,151 cases at 26 schools, according to the New York Times. The World Food Program, run by former Governor David Beasley, has won the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize. Big congratulations there to a son of the PD. Now, moments after the announcement, Adam Smith with NobelPrize.org in Oslo spoke with Beasley, who is in Niger. Here's part of that phone call.
Hello?
Hello, am I speaking with David Beasley?
Yes, yes.
Hello, my name is Adam Smith. I'm calling from the website of the Nobel Prize in Stockholm, NobelPrize.org.
Hello, I've been in a meeting in Niger. They just walked in and told me. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, it's just been announced in Oslo. Wow. Many congratulations to the World Food Program.
Well, I tell you, it's amazing. I'm sorry, everybody's so excited. We're here to hear media talking about conflict and problems in Niger. To get this news is just amazing. It really is amazing. God knows the people in the World Food Program deserve this. And holy mackerel. First time in my life I've been without words.
As people hear the news of this prize during the course of the day, what message do you hope it sends?
Well, number one, I think the message that we hope it sends to the world is we cannot forget about those that are suffering because of war and conflict and climate change. The millions of people whose lives are at risk, and the World Food Program is dedicated and committed. And this message, I think, is sending a message to the world that the international community feels the pain and suffering of those who are struggling around the world. And we cannot forget about them, and we must be committed to them regardless of economic deterioration, regardless of COVID, regardless of circumstances. And so, my goodness, this is probably one of the first times in my life I've been without words. I'm so excited. I mean, it's really unbelievable. Wow. I mean, wow. Yeah.
And last question, whose responsibility do you think global hunger is?
It's the responsibility for global hunger and addressing it belongs to every leader on the planet, every leader. I mean, from the wealthy nations to the impoverished nations. Impoverished nations to seek the help, the guidance, and to govern honorably and responsibly with care, and also the wealthy nations to care about your neighbor. We cannot forget our neighbor. You will pay for it one way or the other. So do it right on the front end. And quite frankly, with the billionaires right now making billions on COVID, they should step up right now in this catastrophic time. We're facing a one-time catastrophe. And the billionaires need to step up and make certain that every single human being on earth doesn't go to bed hungry, much less starve to death.
A lot of great insight there from the governor, especially that one line that we cannot forget our neighbor. Now, the WFP has flown medical workers and supplies all over the world during the pandemic, or what Beasley has warned of as a hunger pandemic as a result of poverty wrought by the disease. Well, I hope you all checked out our Trailbite episode on the last 1st Congressional District debate and the U.S. Senate debate, because we're going to use this additional time in the politics section to take a break from politics and talk about fall gardening with lead horticulturalist Brenton Fox. Now, we all need to take a break, and if you don't have a green thumb, well, listen anyway.
It is spooky season. The air is crisp. The days grow shorter. I feel that I, too, am in the autumn of my life. Brenton is trying so hard not to laugh because she doesn't know if she's allowed to. I was just joking there, folks. That being said, welcome, Brenton Fox.
Yes, so glad to be here.
Welcome to the autumn of my life.
That was so deep.
Brenton, again, is our lead horticulturist. She's also a grower at Boone Fox Farms. Great to be back.
Yes, with you, I'm happy to be back.
It's fall.
Was wondering when y'all were going to have me back on to talk about fall.
I had to wait till after the full moon to have you on. Our moon chart really told us not to
do
too much.
Yeah, I understand.
But quick pop quiz as you take a sip of coffee there, Brenton. Favorite gourd?
Oh.
Favorite gourd.
I do love butternut squash. Ooh, I guess that is technically a gourd.
We'll let it, yeah. Favorite Halloween costume? Gardener,
really
farmer. You can say farmer. Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. That would be a good one. I have pink hair right now, so I've realized that most characters that have pink hair are anime characters, mm-hmm. and I don't follow anime, so yeah. I'm lost at what to do with the pink hair.
Maybe someone can call in and tell us what to do. Okay, well, we got all that out of the way.
Really failed these pop quiz questions.
It's okay, because we failed to put any gourds on our table. Luckily, you brought some beautiful dahlias with you, so we'll let that slide today. But we're on the front porch of AT's house, which is located in the heart of Shandon at Street. But Brenton, that being said, we are outside. It's wonderful out. This is like the best time of year. You know, everything's nice to be outside. It's cool. It's fresh. You can hear the cars. But tell me what people should be doing. Our listeners, our plant enthusiasts, you know, what's the plan right now? We hear some, you know, lawnscaping off mm-hmm. in the distance. What should I be doing if I had some plants outside, doing to my beds, maybe trying to harden some things if they're going to stay outside through the winter?
For sure. So fall is a very busy time of year for the gardener. This is the best time of year for you to be pruning your perennials, kind of getting them cut back so they're putting their energy into growing their roots to be hardy for the long winter, which we don't have a super long winter here, but you still want them to be prioritizing growing for next year. So that's in the root system. It's also the best time of year if you want to put new perennials into your garden to put them in now before Thanksgiving. And then outside of that, the weather is nice. It feels good to be out there, so you can get a lot of work done for spring now, too.
So when you talk about putting things in that you're going to be harvesting in the spring, we're talking about bulbs? Is that something people could be...
Yeah. Plants and bulbs, mm-hmm. yep.
So what can I be planting right now if I'm looking to spruce up the garden and have a nice little pop of color next spring?
So some good perennials to put in the ground now for spring would be yarrow, echinacea, any type of rudbeckia, black-eyed Susan, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. As far as more of your annual crops that you could put in, bachelor buttons are a good one. They're pretty foolproof. You can literally just sprinkle the seed outside and just keep it well watered till you see it pop up. And then once you see it germinate, you don't really need to do much with it.
Set it and forget it. There
yes,
you go.
Yeah. It's a good one for pollinators. Another pretty easy foolproof is larkspur. It's really lots of beautiful pastel colors. It almost always blooms right around Easter and Mother's Day. So those are really pretty to put out. Those get pretty tall. So think about where you're placing your taller flowers, just because you don't want them to kind of take over something behind them.
Yeah. Yeah. That fight for the sun too.
Yes.
What about people that want to garden indoors this fall? You know, that's kind of where I'm always doing my things. So I got my alocasia. I got, you know, I'm going to move my palm trees inside soon.
Yeah.
And like my parlor palms, you know.
Just pay attention to the nighttime temps. That's if it's warm enough during the day, you can move out. But if we start getting below 40, you don't want those, any of your tropical house plants, you don't want those to be outside during that.
They get so much more sun outside, you know, that's the trade-off, but I have some sunny spots I can move them in towards inside.
And you can think about putting, too, if you have things in bigger pots on something that has wheels for you to move in and out. If it's just impossible for you to move something in and out, there is this fabric that you can put around plants. Some people will use cotton sheets. I don't recommend that. They just get really heavy with water, and so that ends up being what you're trying to keep off of the leaves is the frozen water. So the cotton sheets sometimes aren't the best option for that. The material that I would recommend is called Agrabon. You could probably look up Agrabon or Row Cover on the internet and find those. But those are good things. If you have large plants, potted plants that you need to cover when it's getting below 40 degrees, look up some of those things. But a lot of the stuff that I'm putting in the ground right now, and this is good for listeners to think about too, if you're putting something in the ground now, it most likely can handle the type of freezes that we have, those light freezes. They happen for a few hours at night, and then by the time the sun's up, it's above freezing. So you don't have to stress too much about covering those newly planted perennials or those hardy annuals like the bachelor buttons or larkspurs. Those can handle pretty cool temps. Another one that I see in this area a lot for landscaping are snapdragons and foxglove. They're another hardy annual that you can plant out into your garden that really give you a show come April. Foxglove is technically poisonous, so just don't eat the petals.
Noted. Well, what about AT when we look at his plants outside right now? Like, you know, he has his bay leaf plant, he has his basil, he's got some palms out there. Can those guys stay outside?
So because they're on his porch, the house itself is warmer. So they're not in the middle of his yard, unprotected. So those things, everybody has their own kind of microclimate. So he just needs to be mindful. If it's getting cooler, he might want to bring it in a little closer to the house.
You're cold, they're cold.
Yes, correct. So just think, something's out in the open by itself, it's most likely going to be receiving all of the cool temps and the wind. And but if something's closer to your house, it can usually handle getting, you know, 40, 35. It's really when we get down to like 26 degrees for more than a few hours is when plants that don't like the cooler temps are going to be real sad.
And just kind of wrapping up, Bren, like, do I need to go out and, you know, trim up my hedges that I've overgrown, or, you know, some of these grasses, like if you look around, like AT's driveway right there, like would I prune that under, you know, underneath there, or should I just leave it so it can have something for the winter to maybe insulate it in a sense?
Yeah, it kind of depends on type of plant. So like your azaleas, you would have wanted to prune those earlier in the year, because at this point they're already getting ready to put on bloom. So azaleas, camellias are like that. Outside of that, hydrangeas, you can go ahead and prune back. Grasses, it really just depends on what you like looking at in the winter. If you like seeing that texture, it's not growing as fast right now. So if you want to put it off to make that a later on.
That's what I usually do in the
on.
Spring. Yeah. Well, sometimes in the spring, I just like rip underneath it, you know, where it's all dead.
Exactly.
Give it some freshness.
And right now, we're basically losing almost 5 minutes of daylight every day. So your plants just aren't going to be growing as quickly. So you have a little bit more time to get things like that done if you want to put it off while you're getting your actual garden bed going. There are still some vegetable crops that people can plant in their raised beds too this time of year. lettuces, radishes. We haven't talked about radishes in a while.
Yes.
Leafy greens. So yeah. Even if you don't get like a big giant kale plant, you can still eat those smaller leaves. So, and those things can handle pretty low temps.
Yeah.
Beep.
What bird is that? Does anyone know bird calls? I know that's it's just a spectrum truck.
This is a good time of year, speaking of birds, yeah, to look for like your hawks and your owls, because they're really out looking for mice. So if you're out walking in your neighborhood, this is a good time of year to catch sightings of those.
Mm. Yeah, and also kind of keep some of the, you know, probably have some berries under your plants. Mm-hmm. I have some shrubs that have berries out there, yep, so I'm sure that's going to be great for our feathery friends,
yeah,
this fall.
Yeah, they're stocking up on, they got to get their fat supply in now, so be on the lookout for them.
Well, awesome, Brent. Anything else you want to add? I think we covered everything pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
Happy fall. Happy fall to you.
Yes, I love fall. It's my favorite season.
Ooh, I love bumper
seasons.
Even
though
seasons.
I can't think of what gourds I like.
It's a bit of a hollow question.
Oh, God.
Always enjoy talking with Britton, and I hope you enjoyed listening. And be sure to follow her on Instagram at Boone Fox Farm so you can see her beautiful flowers and look into getting some yourself. She gave me a bouquet of dahlias, and they have certainly perked up my week. Hey, babies. Hey, babies. They're right next to me. They can hear you. Stop laughing at them. Also, if you need a good politics fix this weekend, check out This Week in South Carolina on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on ETV. I recap recent congressional debates with Meg Kinnard and Jamie Lovegrove. And a programming note, you can listen to next week's Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation hearings of Judge Amy Coney Barrett live on all South Carolina public radio stations and the ETV World Channel, Monday through Thursday, starting at 9 a.m. You're going to wish you were gardening. Actually, you can do both with the SCETV app. On Tuesday, in a tweet, President Trump called for a stop in negotiations for a fourth COVID-19 relief bill until after the November 3rd election. He later backtracked and tweeted on Friday, quote, COVID relief negotiations are moving along. Go big, quote. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a relief bill is not expected before Election Day, but sources tell Politico that work to get a deal is expected this weekend and all through next week. The White House is calling for a maximum bill of $1.8 trillion, and the GOP won't go above $2 trillion. Now, all this messaging comes after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's recent comments about the need for additional stimulus, as the airline and tourism industries face 40,000-plus layoffs, furloughs, and/or pay cuts. Here's Jay Powell.
At this early stage, I would argue that the risks of policy intervention are still asymmetric. Too little support would lead to a weak recovery, creating unnecessary hardship for households and businesses. Over time, household insolvencies and business bankruptcies would rise, harming the productive capacity of the economy and holding back wage growth. In a typical recession, there is a downward spiral in which layoffs lead to still lower demand and subsequent additional layoffs. This dynamic was disrupted by the infusion of funds to households and businesses. Prompt and forceful policy actions were also likely responsible for reducing risk aversion in financial markets and business decisions more broadly. Combined with the disproportionate effects of COVID on communities of color and the overwhelming burden of childcare during quarantine and distance learning, which has fallen mostly on women, the pandemic is further widening divides in wealth and economic mobility. The fiscal response was truly extraordinary. The unanimous passage of the CARES Act and three other bills passed with broad support in March and April established wide-ranging programs that are expected to provide roughly $3 trillion in economic support overall. Still, since it appears that many will undergo extended periods of unemployment, there is likely to be a need for further support. Second, aid to firms, in particular the Paycheck Protection Program, and the general boost to aggregate demand have so far partly forestalled an expected wave of bankruptcies and lessened permanent layoffs. Business investment appears to be on a renewed upward trajectory, and new business formation similarly appears to be rebounding, pointing to some confidence in the path ahead.
And you can tie all this back into what we heard from Doug Woodward from the USC Economic Outlook Forum about the outsized role Washington is playing right now. Here we are. Here it seems like we're going to stay, folks. Ahoy, mateys, and SpongeBob, me boy. The Post and Courier reports that starting in January, Carnival plans to resume cruises on its Sunshine vessel out of the port of Charleston. Boo! Can we get a fog, like a boo?
No, you just did it. That's
okay.
Good.
Can we? I'll just boo. The company said cruise capacity will be capped at 50%. We'll see you on the seas, folks.
Avast.
Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's happening in your world. Are you going to work? Are your kids in school? Are you helping out with your community, helping others who are less fortunate? Are you preparing for Halloween? What are you guys doing for Halloween? Are you going trick-or-treating? What are the thoughts? Don't ask me. I don't have kids. I can't tell you things what you should be doing. Let us know what you're doing, though, at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and a message no longer than 3 minutes. AT, do we have any voicemails?
Oh, we have a voicemail. It's someone we're very familiar with. He's our friend Logan, and he lived in my basement once. So let's roll it.
All right.
Hey, Gavin and AT. This is Logan, Columbia, South Carolina, golf pro. I was just calling to inquire if you guys had looked into any aspects of doing digital signatures vis-a-vis for the absentee voting. I was curious if there was any sort of implementation if, you know, anybody was sick and or invalid and needed somebody to do absentee sign or witness for them just as a precautionary method. If there was anything in place that is already established, you know, third-party political or private enterprise where somebody could witness via Skype and or, you know, somebody might show up to your residence and, you know, allow you the opportunity to have somebody witness. I know it's kind of carte blanche on who can witness, but I was just kind of curious if anything like that had been set up or if any organization was looking into that. If you guys could let me know, I'd appreciate it.
Logan, we love hearing from you vis-a-vis voicemail. Did I use that right? Carte blanche.
I think so.
I'm going to carte blanche that. yeah, Logan, I think that's the whole issue right there is that, you know, this is such an old requirement that I don't think the internet existed when it was first implemented. And so that's not something that is part of the law, which is the whole issue with the face-to-face problem, which is why we heard from judges saying this is not something smart to do during a time when people being face-to-face can transmit a deadly pandemic. So, you know, it's one of those things. You just got to go find someone on the street. You know, like I said, a haberdasher, you know, a delicatessen, a inquisitor, a townsperson,
a town crier, the local fool,
a court jester,
anything, anybody, absolutely anybody,
anyone,
fishmongers,
a fishmonger,
yeah, anybody can do
anybody.
It.
Yeah, it's super secure that way. Anyway, we also got a voicemail, AT. You told me we got one from an inmate trying to call us from a South Carolina prison to try and leave us a voicemail.
It's not as much a voicemail as, like, we can tell a prisoner is trying to call us, but it's an automated service, so we can't agree to the charges.
We can't accept it. We're just a voicemail box. So if you guys, you know, if you are trying to call us or you can't get a hold of us, you can always feel free to write us at 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. And we will get that. I actually had an inmate write me recently, too, asking about looking into a case of his, some issues there. I can't give legal advice, but I can always reach out to people that do.
If you are an inmate and you're listening to us, please let us know how you're listening to us. We're interested.
Yeah, and again, we're not condoning using contraband cell phones here at all or illegal internet use, but I don't know how.
I would be very gratified if someone smuggled something into prison just to talk to us.
I don't think that's the only reason they have a contraband cell phone. But I do tag out on This Week in South Carolina about the podcast, but that's not, I don't give the phone number, so I'm kind of interested here.
Yeah, very great. I hear that you have a new lifestyle that you're living now, right?
Yes.
Not just surrounded by dahlias and pretty things.
Super healthy. Super healthy, as always. I mean, you know my life.
So tell me what's new. You were visiting a friend somewhere?
So I was up in Blythewood visiting my friend Megan Kennard.
Are you talking about Meg?
It's Megan Kennard to friends.
Rude, incredibly rude. She watches the movies. Apologies, I say to Megan, watch, but whatever.
Apologies. So I was up in Blythewood because there's a good Walgreens rapid COVID testing up there too. And right across the street from there is an Aldi, which I was like, oh, you know, I enjoy Aldi. I used to go there when I lived in Florence.
You're big into Aldi right now.
Well, I'm such a Costco head. And then I'm like, you know, I don't need to buy everything in bulk, but I do, you know, because it does make sense.
10 pounds of onions.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to buy my onions at Aldi now, even though the produce is always like, use it or lose it with Aldi. You know, it's really day of. But I'm going to keep buying my spinach at Costco because I get 2.5 pounds, $5. Which brings me to the lifestyle conversation we're having about juicing. Yes. Or I should say smoothieing.
You call it juicing, and I take...
juicing's a catch-all.
I take umbrage with how you...
My juicers out there, they're going to be like, I hear you, Gavin. Don't listen to the haters.
Okay, so you told me the other day that you've started juicing.
Well, because I was... you know, I was watching that Martha Stewart show. She has a show that she's been doing in quarantine. And I'm like, damn, Martha, you're still looking amazing at... Let me Google her age really quick.
Svelte.
Because she's ageless.
Svelte. Who cares?
She's 79 ageless. Years old. I'm like, how does she do it? I want to make sure I look like that. She's 79 years old.
You got to go to prison for a little bit. I think that's how. you get tight in there. Real tight.
You don't snitch. Insider training for something like
no,
lost
snitching
money.
On the lead.
Anyway, so I'm like, what does Martha do? And I heard that she always does a juice every morning. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to replicate that. Well, needless to say, like I don't have all of her ingredients. Hers has a green pear halved, 2 stalks of celery, 2 English cucumbers. Thank you.
Important.
A bunch parsley, 1 inch of ginger, and 2 sections of orange with the rind left on. Ugh. Absolutely savage, Martha. Absolutely savage. Needless to say, she actually has a juicer.
Yeah.
Let's talk
about what you're doing, okay?
I myself have a Ninja blender. Great stuff. Top of the line.
This really fits into your slurry lifestyle.
Yeah. this is a more mobile slurry.
I wrote down what you told me your ingredients are, and they are as follows. Kombucha, lemon, spinach, cucumber, apples, beets, and then this one is the real kicker that's foul to me, is grapes.
Well, the grapes are just in there for sweetness, just like the apples. But these are just things that I pick up at the Aldi. I'm like, you know, oh, there's kombucha. There's kombucha.
These are just
stuff.
The things they speak to you.
And then you can get like this little, you get this can of coconut water, coconut juice from Goya. At Aldi for 99 cents. I'm like, well, I'm going to pour that in there too if I'm out of kombucha. You know, it's just healthy, AT. Health is wealth. And that's just
really,
where I'm at right now.
Really disgusting to me.
Well, I love eating my spinach anyway, so I might as well just blend it up and drink it, you know? I'm talking about handfuls of spinach here. There's no measuring. It's just like this, that. It's a witch's brew.
I feel like if you could set up like a liquid food dispenser that looks like a hamster's cage thing, you would. You'd be like, this is easy. This is fine. I see nothing wrong with this.
I have my wheel, I have my pellets, and I have my liquid dispenser.
My floor is covered in sawdust. I mean, it's easy.
Everything's really great. But I mean, I had dinner last night. I'm not just drinking all my meals.
Okay, and moving on from your disgusting lifestyle, you have started, you mentioned brand intimacy earlier, and you also talked about that you're a Costco head. So let's get into this. You love Costco. Tell me what brand intimacy is.
So brand intimacy is when you get to know a brand, you know, more than just buying something, really getting to know a brand.
You're going steady.
You know what I'm talking about. If you could see my eyes right now, I'm doing a couple wonk eyes, a couple winks. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Bing, bing, bong, 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 bong.
I was listening to, I was on YouTube this morning, and one of the active live links was for Yahoo Finance. I'm like, oh, let me hear what's going on in the finance world. And it's kind of like Bloomberg, but it's not as wonky as Bloomberg. And they had some guy on talking about brand intimacy in one of their segments. And I was like, that is a phrase I have not been intimate with.
And so basically it's one of these things where people, they're measuring how close, how tight people are with these brands. You know, like Hypebeast or Type with Supreme.
Yeah,
this is just measuring overall consumers, looking at like what they really associate with.
You're talking
about who they're tight with.
You're talking about the freaks that like Yeti so much that liking a cooler is part of their lifestyle.
I'm talking about waiting in line, putting that bumper sticker on your car for that cooler that's more than, you know, someone's paycheck. You know,
I'm about the salt life, bro. Check out my cooler.
So, AT, do you know what the top brand, one of the COVID, this is a COVID study done during the pandemic to find out what the top 10 most intimate brands are. Do you know what the number one is?
I feel like number one would be whatever anyone's favorite toilet paper is right now.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So scarce earlier.
It is Apple. The phone, I mean,
Apple
is
spawned the sort of hype beast sort of deal. They're like, 100%. I live in an Apple habitat. You can just get out of here. Come on. It's a stupid phone and computer. I got an Apple computer, and that's fine. It's good. But like, I don't live about it.
My Apple Watch is connected to my blender. I'm just kidding. I don't have an Apple Watch. I need to take a break. But the number two brand, according to MBLM, this analyst firm, is Amazon. And I do proselytize Amazon Prime. I gave my friend Neil a really hard time when I found out that he is not a Prime member, which I'm just like, what? Hey, the two-day shipping alone.
Friend. Not friend anymore.
You
know, I mean,
Amazon Music, Amazon Photos. You can back up all your photos on your phone to Amazon Photos for free. Amazon Reading, you know?
I like Google more than Amazon. I'm just going to say that.
Well, you are part of the Google habitat. And the number three brand is Google, AT. That's you.
Everybody is Google. Everybody has Gmail. Everybody uses Google. Instead of saying search, they just say Google it, you know? And so, like, I don't have a Google sticker on my car, and I don't tell people, like, oh, you idiot, you need Google. But it's just like, I don't know. It's just, I'm living a Google lifestyle. And my Google Pixel phone is probably...
listening to us right now.
Yeah, and it's
us.
Gonna ping me all these updates and say, "Good job for doing this, AT. We love you."
here are more tokens for life or whatever they're gonna
serotonin.
Be using.
Here's your serotonin in your human contact starved existence right now,
and you're making fun of my gerbil lifestyle. Anyway, so that's where we're at. So again,
let us know what brand you love. Yeah.
You know, and then you got Walmart, YouTube, Toyota, Disney, so all those big,
I got a
big
Tacoma
corporations
too.
that are ruining our lives.
I got that Yoda taco, bro.
Yeah, let us know 803-563-7169. Do we have anything else to talk about? I think that's about it.
No, have a great weekend, everybody. You know what? Eddie Van Halen died. It's a tragedy. Listen to Van Halen. Get into shred guitar.
Get you some juice, get you some green smoothie going.
Tune in, drop out, just you only need the lead in Van Halen and shred. So, I mean, that's all you need. Have a great weekend.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening to the pod. And show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes or voicemail at 803-563-7169. You can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, we're in the middle of the No Pledge Drive Pledge Drive, so consider becoming an ETV member. Help us out. Radio wants your support, and membership just starts at $40, and you can go up from there. You can also become a sustaining star. Check it out.
That's a great brand to love. Great brand to love.
Great brand. Oh, my God. Public Radio PBS, that's number one in our hearts, folks.
Oh, yeah.
For the South Carolina lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I was in a creative fugue state.
Now, brown liquor.